better go out and do this right now.
Matthew chapter 8, 21 and 22. Jesus is ready to hop in the boat and go across the sea to another city. And one of his disciples says, Jesus, can you give me just a few minutes here? I need to go bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Because on the other side of that sea, on the other side of that boat trip, was a miracle. It was the man of the Gadarenes who was demon-possessed. Jesus already knew that if he was even 5 minutes off his mark, he was going to miss one of the greatest miracles the Bible has to tell us. A naked man running around a graveyard. And Jesus cast it out, and the demons flee into the swine, and the swine run into the sea. And suddenly, this man amongst the tombs is no different than you and I. So Proverbs, we read 27:1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's the wild part about this. Brother Loki will tell you, just yesterday, an employee who has been on basically FMLA, her cancer came back in June. Thought everything was done, knocked out. Came back. And then yesterday she passed away. At least through our business, we have dealt with more death in just the last 4 months. Sister Roden included being one of those. Terrible stuff. And yet, somehow, we have the audacity, especially young people, to think that tomorrow I'm going to build kingdoms and build wealth and do this and that. And we've got our 2 week plan, our 5 year, our 20 year. We got it all mapped out. And there's nothing wrong with that. Except that sometimes we put too much faith in that we're going to be here next week when we don't know what God has in store. For good or for bad. Beyond that, not only what God has predestined, but we don't know what crazy choices we may make between tonight and a Sunday service. Sadly, we think that we have full control over our future. And the problem is we don't. All we have is the sovereign will of God, His perfect will, and hope to God that we are here tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. The old adage says, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Tell Him your plans. I guarantee you, God's plans are far different than what you have picked out. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We do not know what God has in store. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And so therefore, we've got to maximize every moment. We've got to seize every opportunity. We've got to make it happen in the here and now while today is still called today. James 4:13-15 very simply says this, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Acts 1 and 7, it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And so there is danger. Is it wrong to plan and to think about tomorrow and to try and forecast our future? You know, Bishop always told me, we'd have these conversations, and he said, plan like you're going to be here forever, but be ready to go tonight. And I'm pretty sure, for the most part, we've got plans to be here tomorrow. But the bigger question is, if the horn sounds tonight, are you ready to go? If the good Lord in glory decides to make his return, and tonight's the night, I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears. One's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. It's an old song, but it's critical. It's an old message. Chris, sit down. You've heard this before. I've heard it since the first day I darkened the doors of a church in McClenny, Florida. And I still don't know if he's going to be here in 5 minutes or 5 years. But are you ready? Problem is that sometimes we worry too much about tomorrow. We have great grand plans, and yet that's all we focus on. And somehow we become oblivious to the here and now. In our pursuit of happiness and longevity, we forget about family, we forget about friends, we forget about the taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, changing the oil in the car. Worse still, we forget about the things of God. Matthew 6:24 through 34 says this, says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Scripture talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't love God and love the world and expect everything to jive. Sweet and bitter water can't come out of the same well. You gotta make up your mind. So he's reminding folks here. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat. Someone right now is thinking about what they're going to eat after service. I'm not condemning you. It happens. What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. What am I going to wear to work tomorrow? Perhaps I'm calling in sick. Put your hand down, Brother Wayne. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Is there not more to life than a happy meal, and a plaid shirt and a pair of jeans? He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, just a short amount of time, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith. He's not asking folks to believe that mountains can be moved and cancer can be cured. He's just saying, do you not have enough faith that I can take care of tomorrow? You're all tied up in knots, worried about this and that. Kroger's still going to be there. There's still going to be a paycheck on Friday. Belk isn't going anywhere, honey. Why are you worried? There's bigger fish to fry here. He's trying to get a point across. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Essentially, if you want me to break it down, the people that do not have Christ are not in church. Paraphrase it however you want to. The people that don't have God, this is all they have to worry about. They have no clue about an eternity and about a life with Christ. They have no clue, and that's why we have to tell them. They don't know and understand repentance at an altar and being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin. All your sins being washed away, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. The blood being applied to your life and being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lost and dying world that doesn't know about all of that. And so all they can worry about and think of is the next promotion and the next meal and the next clothing, the next vacation, the next car, the next house. And so we get tied up with the here and now. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33 is what we need to know. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take care or take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Church, there is grave danger in thinking that you can do it tomorrow. You can get it done next week, next month, next year. Even worse, there is danger thinking that there will be a next time. Because there may not be. God, in his infinite wisdom, has wisely kept us in the dark concerning future events and reserved to himself the knowledge of them that he may train us up in a dependence upon himself. Where we're depending on him in a continued readiness for every event. We do not know what is in the womb of time. We do not know. I don't think we realize sometimes that we are surrounded by moments and opportunities. Every day, moments throughout our days that are pregnant with purpose and possibilities. And yet somehow, we see them here, we see them there, and we see them again. And it keeps bopping us in the face. And yet somehow, it's just a silly notion. It's not God, it's just me. I didn't mean to run you over with my grocery cart again. I'm sorry, I've seen you on 17 of these 24 aisles in Publix now. Perhaps I should give you something. The right of way. Go ahead. It's wild. And yet we chalk it up as coincidence. I believe firmly that there is no such thing as coincidence anymore. I promise you, there is no such thing as coincidence anymore. So we're faced with amazing possibilities, but they never come to fruition. And the question is why? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Pastor already touched on it, so I could end my message here and sit down and we'd be done. But I firmly believe that God opens doors and windows and possibilities and moments and minutes and all these chances for amazing things to happen. And yet somehow we walk right by it. Almost as if we're ignoring God saying, hey, bozo, that man, that woman, that opportunity, that chance, you just passed it by again and again and again. And finally, I think God in frustration says, you know what? Forget about it. I got a whole bunch more people that I can use if you don't want to pay attention. I told you I had to get this for myself first, okay? So if it doesn't apply to you, please enjoy it with me. But how many times on the job, at school, in a store, during a service, church going just like it is tonight, an opportunity to witness, an opportunity to secure joy that you need, victory for tomorrow, salvation for now. There's so many things we need, and yet the irony of it is that we're sitting in a pew saying, oh, wish I could get some overtime. I got more month than money this month. And yet we sit in a service worrying about this, and God's saying, go up there, go up there, go up there. And you're like, honey, could you please leave me alone? She's like, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, yeah, you did. You keep nudging me. And all along, God's like, I knew you were hard-headed, but. We deal with issues that could have been solved so long ago. Depression, anxiety, pills, whatever. I'm just saying stuff. Cigarettes, alcohol, promiscuity, whatever. There's all these issues that we deal with, and yet all along, God has given us time and time and time and time and time and time again. It's like the mama saying, go clean your room. Go clean your room. Go clean your room. Go clean your room. If you clean your room, I'll give you a fudge round. If you clean your room, I'll give you 1,000 fudge rounds. If you clean your room, I'll give you $40. When really, mama should have had us at, go clean your room. And you can't push a rope. I know I've said that before. You can pull one, but God is not going to drag anybody to opportunity. God is not going to drag you to your moment that will change your life or someone else's life forever. He just isn't going to do it. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you because there's a whole lot of other people he can use. You know, I thought about the apostles, the disciples. You know, Jesus is ascending up into heaven and he's like, hey, see y'all later. I'm paraphrasing, I know. But he says, see y'all later. And then he takes a sip of water. No. He says, see y'all later. Angels come down and they're looking at all these people and they're saying, why are you standing here gazing? You need to get to Jerusalem. He told you, ABC 1, 2, 3, here's what you need to do. So they go. Imagine Peter and John. They're passing by the gate beautiful. And there's the lame man. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle, jingle. John, you got any money? No. What about you, Peter? I'm broke. Guess we better walk on by. And we miss another message in the Bible. Or, jingle, jingle, jingle. Excuse me, lame man, do you need something? Yeah. Do you not hear the one little clickety-clack coin I have in my cup? Oh, I'm sorry. We're both broke. Have a nice day. Or even as little as to say, don't have any money. Yes, I can throw a church card in his cup. Hope I never see him again. Hope he likes Pastor and Sister Johnson's face on the card. But they took a moment, an opportunity that God had ordained. And you know the story. They go on to say, hey, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They witnessed a miracle, and the lame man can walk because the moment wasn't passed by. And I'm hurrying. You look at Cornelius and the centurion. Cornelius the centurion and Peter. God sending Peter that direction, Cornelius has been seeking God. Peter could have very well just passed the whole thing off and refused to go because someone was in the kitchen in the house cooking dinner and he's laid up on the roof. But the moment happened. Ananias, Saul's conversion to Paul. He could have ran and hid and said, God, this man kills Christians. I don't want to deal with this guy. As far as I'm concerned, he's going to hell anyways. But he didn't. He didn't. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give a reason. Be ready always to give a reason. You know, Pastor was with myself and Brother Shup, Caleb, and a friend of mine from a long time ago with my Verizon days, Breck. Now, you have to understand Breck. Breck doesn't go to church. He's maybe had some experiences way back in Kansas, literally, I think with his grandparents at a Lutheran church or Episcopalian or whatever the case may be. But my meeting with Breck one day took place in a cafeteria at work, and he happened to be sitting at the same table, and he started eating his food, and I prayed for mine. And so we got on the subject of prayer. And this is going back, I don't know, goodness, 16, 17 years. He was at my wedding. I think that's the only time he was at our wedding. It's the only time he's been in this church. But the one thing about Breck, it doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing, he will always ask me to pray. He's going into Vanderbilt because of a massive surgery that he has to have on his spine. And he calls me. I'm no different than the next guy, except for the fact that he knows I will pray. So we're at this event, David Lipscomb University in Allen Arena there. Tim Tebow has just got done speaking to the masses. And we're in the causeway, if you will. All these people are trying to leave the arena. Thousands of people. Breck buys all of us a water. I don't even think you wanted a water, but he buys us all a water. And we're talking, we're saying our goodbyes, and he says, before we go, Chris, can you pray? And we link up hands with thousands of people walking around us. And we pray. And we didn't just say, okay. When you pray for Breck, he wants to know that God heard it. One time we were out as a company softball barbecue day. We're going to play softball, the two teams. But Breck, he calls both teams out to the middle of the field. And so everyone comes out there and he's like, people are looking around. What is, because they knew that Breck can be crazy. Intelligent man. What does Breck want now? He says, before we play, Everyone please bow their knees. Chris is going to pray. And pray I did. Now I just get used to it. We were in Fazoli's one time. Terrible Italian food. But we're in Fazoli's. And our waitress is walking with a noticeable limp. She had fallen and had injured her leg somehow. I don't remember what it was. I come back from the restroom and she's standing there. He says, "Glad you're back. Now Chris can pray for you." I have no clue what I'm praying for, so he indulges me. So I pray for this woman's broke leg. I don't know if it made a difference, but it did to Breck. And Lord willing, he comes through this surgery. Brother Wayne Loki would tell you, if you can't have fun at work, then why even go? So I believe, I don't worry anymore. I know on the job sometimes we're supposed to be prim and proper and these are our coworkers and this and that. I don't care anymore. I don't care. They know that I am Pentecostal. Not the Appalachian Mountain kind with a snake going, "Lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo." No desire to do that. No desire. If that's what you came looking for by chance, you are in the wrong place. PETA loves us. Because we don't harm any snakes. We ain't that kind. And Brother Wayne Loki has talked about this before. We work very, very hard, but I firmly believe that we are blessed because Brother Wayne Loki and I are there. We do some crazy stuff. We will give God all the praise and the honor and the glory when we close a deal. A week ago, Monday, last week, I'm in my Cool Springs Franklin office. Josue has been to hell and back, and I'll leave it at that. But he closed the biggest deal of his life. That will change his family's fortunes forever. And he knew already what he had to do. He cranked up some Hezekiah Walker on some Pandora. And we had ourselves a praise break. Now he's a big boy. He's getting it down. The only way he knows how. The only way he knows how. He got done. He was like, "Whoo, whoo." So what's wrong, buddy? He said, "I think I praise break too hard." All kidding aside, he began to cry. Whoo. One of these days, Brother Patrick, he's gonna close a deal. We're going to get our praise break on. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And I believe Holy Ghost fire is going to come down on 321 Billingsley Court, Suite 22 in Franklin, Tennessee. And all of a sudden, there's going to be speaking in tongues and shouting, "Woo! You doubt me. You mark my word. You think I'm kidding?" My kids will give away every little church card they can and expect people to come to church and then ask me, "Daddy, why?" She said she would be there maybe next time, but you give her another one. You give him another one. I'm crazy with my kids. Kids, I don't want them remembering the fact that I got onto them for this or that when they're older. I want them to laugh about stupid stuff we did. We will be walking down the aisle in Lowe's, or Publix, or wherever, and I'll stop and I'll just say, "Dance." Sometimes Ethan does dances he should not. But we dance. My daughter was in the restroom at Publix. And she loves that song, Take Me to the King. Loves it. Loves it. And Ethan loves, every praise is to our God, every word of worship. She's in the bathroom, women's, and I didn't go in. And I can hear her in there singing. I'm sure sitting on the toilet and at the top of her lungs, because the acoustics are great, she is belting it out. A lady walks in, uses the restroom, washes her hands, all those things, and comes out. And I'm still standing there waiting. And she says, sir, is that your daughter? I said, yes, it is. She said, you don't know the kind of hell and the day that I've had. But your daughter just made my day. I don't say that to make you feel, oh, wow. I say that because in Publix, if I need to, I will lay hands on that woman and pray for her right there. I'm to the point that I don't care anymore. You see, I admittedly would tell you that I am a pride overcomer. Don't get a piece of lint on my clothing. Don't mess up my hair. When we're at work, we're all business. I don't care anymore. Because the scripture talks about if we can but save a few, it's going to be worth it all. Worth it all. Let me say this. Reminded of the story about little Johnny. I told my class this. Little Johnny every night would go to bed. And every night, little Johnny hit the floor. Mama run in there. What's wrong? What's wrong? He fell out of bed. Night after night after night. It is funny. But little Johnny, every night, falls out of the bed. Finally, one night it happens, and Mama runs in there. Little Johnny, Johnny, Johnny. He said, Mama, I fell out of the bed again. Can you please make it stop? Can you please fix it? She said, baby, that's easy. You ain't far enough in. Now. You ain't got time to be playing with God. In one day and out the next. In one day and out the next. It's time to get all the way in or stay out on the floor. But make up your mind. Time to get all the way in. Because that's the only place where God can use us. And that's the only place where God can do anything with us. Is when we're all the way in and all the way committed. Alright? I need to wrap this up. The greatest opportunity a person will ever have is his or her moment of truth. When great faith, this great message, this gospel, redeeming message about Jesus Christ dying on a cross for his or her sins. That's the greatest moment, the greatest opportunity. The thing is after that moment, the individual has to make a choice. They have to choose. The preacher has preached. The hand of God is at work. Conviction's pulling at that person's heart. Eternity weighs in the balance. The altar looms in the distance. And tonight could be your very last opportunity to change where you spend eternity. Heaven or hell. And so I ask, will you go
or will you stay? I'm closing. We have opportunities as people of God to extend and further the kingdom. But every service, we have people that need Jesus. And they are presented with moments like right now to make a choice to change their lives forever. And what do they choose? Luke chapter 12, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required. Acts chapter 24, verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard Paul preach concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And then he said, Paul, go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. But you know what? Felix said, Paul, you preached a great message, and I want to go to heaven, but next time. Next time it comes. Pastor talked earlier about an open door and about the opportunities that we have every day, even in the service tonight. Victory, joy, salvation, whatever the case may be, whatever you need. And I'm done. But what I do know in these last few minutes is this. There's a door. There's an opportunity. There's a moment. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to go ahead and head on in. And I'll hold the door for you if you want me to. Otherwise, I'm going to get what I need to get. Let God take care of a few things for me. But the door's wide open. Is it going to be next time, or is it tonight? Come back at a more convenient season, Paul, and we'll talk again. Fool! Thou fool. This night, thy soul is required. Please don't say tomorrow, because you may pull out on 2:31 and tomorrow never comes. But you got time right now to make up in your mind, do I choose heaven or do I choose hell? Come on, church, help me here. Eternity. Saint or sinner alike, eternity is in the balance right now for somebody.
And I'm hoping and praying that ma'am, sir, that you make the right choice. If you're not, I think now's a good time to find a place to pray. Because I believe God doesn't want you to miss this opportunity or this moment. Don't let it pass you by. My God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, get a hold of us here tonight, Jesus. Oh God, change me. Rearrange me. Do with me what you will, God, but I don't want to leave the same way that I've come. I don't want to miss this opportunity. Tonight is the night. Oh, God. I don't want to go to hell.